start off now, we're going around in the circle. If you tell me what your name is, why are you a fae, and how long you lived there, I'll start with Gordon, since he's got your inveigle in this.
Right, my name is Gordon. I'm a fisherman. I live in Dunbar all my life. I'm 57 years old, and I'm quite glad to do this project.
Kenny.
Live in Dunbar. Lived all my life. Retired.
I'm Colin. Lived in Dunbar for 28 years. I'm a postman.
You lived here all your life?
No, I'm 34 years old.
Okay. Where did you come from?
Skate Raw, a little farm just out of the town.
Great. My name's Andrew. I've stayed in Dunbar all my life. I'm retired now, 66 year old, and enjoying it.
Looking well on it, I have to say, Andy.
Been on holiday, yes.
Aye, where have you been for holidays?
Cyprus. Oh, yes, nice. Lovely.
We'll start off with words for drunk then, I think. That's usually a good place to start. Gordon, what did you put in for that?
We usually say somebody's foo. But there is variations. Some are not quite for the... I was going to say printable, but for broadcasting, yes, that's for a multimedia, audience. But basically, foo is sufu is one foo, or can't I just think of any at the moment, just under pressure.
Aye, that's fine.
Foo as well, but mine's is stupid foo.
Never heard that before. Tell me about that, Kenny.
Well, you're silly when you're foo. You do stupid things when you're foo, and that's where it comes from. Stupid foo.
Good, Colin.
Just, I've only just got gassed. Just the way I normally go.
And I've got steaming. That's what we call them when they get a drink in them, they're steaming.
No pissed anywhere?
Oh, no, no, no. We use that at times, but mostly steaming, yeah.
Your legs
say spinning about to the radio. Aye, well, they put that in because I just like, can't say pissed.
Oh,
well,
but you've used the word steaming just as much. When you talk about somebody, you see them, you say, oh, he was steaming when I seen him, you know, drunk. Mm-hmm.
That's grand. Okay, what about words, any stories about drunkenness?
definitely unprintable.
I don't remember any.
Andre's got a good gin.
Oh, I have.
What's that?
The one with the eye when he
picked
was...
up with the police, sitting, fell out with the wife. I was sitting about 2 o'clock in the morning, freezing cold. Woke up with the police car standing. What are you doing here? I says, I'm not bothering anyone. He said, no, you'll freeze to death. I said, I fell out with the missus and I've cleared out. So he said, well, you better move, you'll freeze to death. So they took off. So I sat for about 10 minutes. I thought, yes, I better move in case I come back. So I moved off. But at 2 o'clock in the morning it happened.
Where'd you go, Andy?
I went down the harbour for a walk. I didn't go straight home again. And must have got home about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. Mrs. never asked where I was, what I was doing or nothing. But that was me. One story I drunk.
Okay, what about words for pregnant?
Pregnant. Up the duff, in the pudding club.
Good, good ones.
I've just got pregnant. Sensible.
You wouldn't have said anything else?
No.
What about, have you got bairns yourself? Or?
I've got two, yeah. Two little boys.
And what did your wife say when she found herself in that state?
She just says that we're going to have kids, so that was fine.
I've got up the stick, that's what we usually say, and they're up the stick if they're pregnant. And I didn't want to hear it again, I've heard it enough. And we've got 9 grandchildren, 2 great-grandchildren, and as I always say, your family gets bigger, it never gets smaller.
Would your granddaughter say, or your daughter say, I'm up the stick?
No, I don't think they would use that word, no. She would just say she's pregnant, yeah. Quietly.
I've got down expecting, but again, I was trying to be polite and use the polite, the sanitised version of the thing, but up the duff and I've not heard up the stick. I have heard up the stick, but I probably wouldn't use it. But yeah, expecting is the sanitised version. But you know, up the stick or up the duff is very common. Yep.
What about words for insane, Gordon?
Insane. Daft, loopy, off your head, off your trolley. Any one of these is commonly used round about here. Well, I would say, I mean, it's, I think it's when you're talking about somebody being stupid or that, it's that exasperation comes in, so there comes a multitude of words come into effect there. So, but I've just got down daft and loopy.
I've just got loony. Just, you're off your head. No thinking of what you're doing.
I've got off your trolley. It's quite a common one. Quite a common one to be used. I've heard it a lot.
And I've just got nuts. And you're insane, you're nuts. That's what we usually say, yes.
Is that
kind of
an affectionate one, Andy? She's
not,
she is.
No, I've used it quite a few. Well, you probably say he's off his head, as Kenny says. But I've used nuts quite a lot. I always nuts. It's not right. It's insane sort of thing, you know. That's what I've got, nuts.
Any story?
I've heard them saying, oh, he's hazelnut. Just the same thing. It's off his head. Mm-hmm.
Any other stories about that? Okay, what about words from Moody then, Colin?
I've just got grumpy. Just with Gordon being my neighbour, you get used to speaking to him at the back fence, and he tends to be grumpy now and again.
Comes with age, I think, Gordon. Eh? I've got doer. You know, if someone's moody, I would say, well, they're doer. Just looking, the way they look.
That's a good Scots word.
That's the word, doer. Yeah.
I just got temperamental after thing again. Probably the sanitised version, but moody. When you are moody, you tend to be temperamental and grumpy. I would agree with that as well. It covers quite a wide spectrum of words as well. I mean, any one of them, I wouldn't. Moody again. The very word moody is temperamental.
Fine, that's good. What about rich?
Well, I've got wheel off. Sometimes round about here we talk about if the rich people always stayed at the West End, traditionally, you know, the posher houses were at the West End, so used to say a West Ender. You can, they're wheel off, you see, because the poorer people stayed at the round about the harbour area, you know, and the posher people stayed at the posher houses, and that's obviously they had more money there. The professional people.
I've got loaded. All them that have money are always loaded. It doesn't matter where they go, they've got plenty of money. It's just loaded. Gordon's loaded.
Same as Kenny. Gordon's my neighbour. He's loaded. It's got the same.
Oh, yeah.
I just...
getting a very good impression of
I'm missing something. I'm missing something here. No, I've got well off as well. We used to say is exactly what Gordon says. Anyone living in big houses and that in Dunbarrow, they're the well off. We are the poor relations.
Probably the opposite of lacking money, Andy.
Pardon?
Lacking money.
Yes, possibly, but.
But what would you say for lacking money?
Well, I've got skint. If you're lacking money, you're skint, aren't you? And I think everyone understands that one.
The same. Basically the same thing. Just if you're lacking money, you're skint.
Skint and stony broke. Stony broke, I don't know where it comes from. I just think it's, if you got a stain, it means nothing, it's no money at all. And you're broke, that's it. You have to need money to pay for it, so if you've just got stains, you can't pay for it. Stony broke.
That's good.
This is the nap hand, it's skint I've got as well. So it's very, very common, lacking money, skint, or brassy lint, and just I've heard that, but it's not common. But skint's about the most common one round about here for the lack of money.
What's the nap hand?
Well, it's the four of us.
Right.
So, you know, instead of saying it, you know, it's just that's the four of us that say, you know, it's the first time we've been
yeah.
Unanimous. So it's an up hand. It's a.
It's like a game of cared, four in a kind, nap hand.
What about words for attractive, Kenny?
I didn't know what to laugh at this, but I've got nothing. Only thing I could think of was attractive, and I didn't know what to put nothing else. Didn't know what to embarrass anybody or say anything. So I'm sorry, I put nothing.
That's alright, Kenny.
I've got babe. If you're attractive, you're a babe.
That's a good name. Are you right, Kenny?
Sure? I've got Bonnie. Attractive's Bonnie. Like, say, Bonnie Dundee or Bonnie. Mm-hmm. Attractive is Bonnie. Suppose there is other ones, but that's just the first one that came to mind.
That's in you'd use.
And I'm Snap McGordon, I've got Bonnie. That's the word I would use to see someone's attractive, they're Bonnie. Not beautiful, it's too fancy a word for us to use, I would just say Bonnie.
What about babe, Colin? Where would you hear that?
Probably a younger generation, for the older ones. I hear it a lot because I'm half the age of these guys. Kenny's probably never heard it before because he couldn't have come up with an answer to that, so I don't know where he's been.
What the bonnie lasses in your day, Kenny?
They were smashers. They were smashers. That was all I could put. I mean, I didn't put nothing but smashers or bra lasses. Nothing like what you've got, babe. Who the heck says babe, for God's sake. If you said babe in your day and age, you'd get caught for everything.
What about storter?
I was just going to use that one. Frank and Joseph, when he could say they're a storter, right? I would have thought of that as well, yes.
Bra?
Yes, that's another one.
Bra,
bra looking.
I like smash, that's great. What about your boys in turn? What would they say?
Well, I don't know. One's only 1.5 and the other's only 5, so...
Early days.
Very early.
Okay, what about the opposite of that? Unattractive.
Well, I've got ugly. I think another polite way of saying it is, as my sister had a saying here, and she would never say somebody was ugly because it's quite a strong... As you say, somebody is offy no money. Which is opposite from attractive bonnie. It's offy no bonnie. That's just my sister. I've never heard anybody else saying that.
Ugly as well, but an ugly in my days was when the women worked in the fields. It was a hat and it was called an ugly. And it was the most ugliest thing you've ever seen.
What did that look like?
A big thing made by my mother used to make them. It's a big thing with hoops, canes, and things like that, and it came right over the front of their head, and it went right over the back of their head, so that it couldn't get burnt off the sun or anything like that.
Never seen one. And what would they wear that for?
For singling, working in the fields.
What's singling?
Separating turnips. Aye, things like that. Singling, and the harvest time, everything. Just anybody wore them in the fields. Women did. New men. Women wore the uglies. My mother used to make them.
And what colour were they?
Any colour you wanted. It was just a cloth that they made and let the bought, and whatever cloth they wanted, what hat they wanted, they bought the cloth, gave it to my mother, and my mother put the canes in and made the hats. And an all sewing machine.
And was it really ugly?
It was ugly. It was...
It was on the same lines as you see the Chinese and are working in the paddy fields. They've got the huge, big straw hats to keep the sun off them. Well, women long ago when they worked in the fields, they had these uglies. So that they come right, as Kenny said, come right over the front, kept the sun off them. And then we're working in the field all day. You might be talking about 6-7 hours without a stop. And then a bright summer's day, they had to keep something to keep the sun off them. So that's what they called them. They called them an ugly.
That Mrs. Law made for us, and it's wire hoops, and it's that red and white check that you used to see Arafat wearing, you know, the thing. But it tapers, it's wider at the front for your the face, so you get a bigger line of vision, and it's narrower at the neck to protect the neck from the sun, as Kenny said.
Colin, what's wrong with you?
Well, again, different generation. I've got Howler. Just a saying that I've heard used quite a few times out and about. Just means somebody's unattractive.
Well, I don't think I've got the right word, really, for that. I put glaikit. Because they're not attracted to you, so you're thinking a glaikit-looking person would say he was an ugly person. But that's the word I've got this time.
Left-handed, let's start with you, Andy, for that.
For what?
Left-handed.
I've got carry pod. That's what I always use when I talk about someone being left-handed. I don't know why, where it come from, but I just say they're carry pod.
Carry pod.
Carry pod.
Lefty. Because I'm one and I've been called it a few times, so.
It's interesting that carry pod and carry fisted
I mean, what carried actually means, I don't know. It's just a word we've been all used.
Somebody says
you just pick it up from your parents and generations that they use a word, and you just use the same words.
I wonder if, because, you know, positive discrimination and that, and trying not to discriminate against people with left hand, if that's why they stopped saying that or something in schools, you know. Did you ever have any bother over that, Colin, in school?
No, not at all. I just find my writings... I find it a bit harder to write than a right-handed person because you're going over what you're already written.
Can
I
see it?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No. When I was at school, you know, the teachers, I can remember a teacher forcing you to learn to write with your right hand. They didn't want anyone writing with their left. They thought it maybe was a slur on your achievements, I don't know. But they always tried to make you write with your right hand when I was at school.
Story. When I was about seven, or, no, been nine, pre-qualifying, I had these two fingers squashed, and I used to go down to the local cottage hospital every morning to get the bandages off and antiseptic cleansed, and I missed a lot of schoolwork, written schoolwork, and the teacher got a bit fed up after a few weeks, and she made me write left-handed, and obviously it wasn't very decipherable to begin with. But it's true to say, by the time the bandages came off, and then I just started going back to my right hand, and at one time, critical time, I was, no critical, but one time I was ambidextrous. Because it just shows you, you can learn. It's just a matter of practice makes perfect. And then I just gradually phased out the left hand and continued with the right. For no apparent reason, because why would I, just because it's healed, why would I just go back to the, you know, when I've been for literally months doing, well, I didn't think it was months, but a few weeks doing it with left hand, and the writing was every bit as good, which wasn't very good at the best of time. That's just the thing about carry pod. I've got like two in my family that's carry pod, actually.
Yeah. So we've done drunk, moody, rich, left handed, unattractive, lacking money, pregnant, I think we've done all those ones. Uh-huh. Let's move down to inside and outside and start with terrain lightly, Kenny.
Poor team.
For raining lightly.
Oh, sorry.
That's this one.
Oh, I've not got nothing. Oh, I've not got nothing.
That's all right.
That's all right then.
That's no problem at all.
That's all right.
I've got drizzle. Light drizzle. You know, light rain is drizzle. It's just enough to coat you, but it's certainly no coming down hard.
Good.
I've just got the same as Gordon, drizzle. No reason. Just use it quite a lot. Drizzle.
Yep, that's the word. Drizzle is the only word we use when it's raining lightly. Just drizzle.
What about when it's raining heavily, Andy?
Oh, it's pouring. Pouring or bucketing, doing as Kenny would say. You would normally say, ah, it's bucketing. If it's
pouring, teeming, bucketing.
Pissing doing.
It's another word,
yeah. Yeah, all these. Yep.
Comedy like stair rods.
No. Well, I've heard it, but you wouldn't use it commonly. No.
No. Cats and dogs?
Cats and dogs. Raining cats and dogs and that. These things, Andrew and Kenny will probably agree with us, we've been brought up to being a seaside holiday resort, so we've got an influx of holidaymakers, and you get a lot of these corruptions, you know, that not things that we would necessarily say, but you would hear them from Glasgow, Edinburgh, Borders, you know, anywhere like that, the things that they use, so you occasionally hear them. It's not uncommon, but, you know, locally you wouldn't use that, steroids.
Running water smaller than a river, Colin.
Smaller than a river. I've got burn.
Yes, a burn. That's what we call it.
Burn.
A burn or a stream. A stream's small burn as well. You see, it's
unanimous that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about a narrow walkway between or alongside buildings?
Well, I've got a close. We talk about a close here. If it's in between tall buildings, a narrow entrance, just the word we use, a close.
I've just got pavement. I didn't really understand the question, to be honest, but I wrote pavement in, so...
That's okay, that's fine. Why is that, do you think? And maybe because there's not that many buildings like that here?
There is a few, but... I don't know, I would probably class them as paths as well. Or pavements?
Close. There's loads in the town. And they're all named. For him to be a postman and can't he mind them? That's bad. They're all named, every one of them. You can walk up the high street today and you'll see all the names above them. So
yeah,
it's close.
It's called close, yeah.
Right? But the other name for a close is a venal.
That's right.
Venal's probably enclosed. Rather than the close could be open, but a venal is probably an enclosed area between two buildings. That's historically speaking, of course.
Yeah. Why is the venal doon?
What about the Legion?
Why is the venal doon, the harbour called the venal then? Because there's no venal.
There was one at one time. I'll show you the photographs to prove it.
Yeah.
Used to live there, fishermen used to live there, and it was like a rabbit warren, and that's where you would get all the interpassing closes and venals.
What about words for toilet,
Gordon? Oh, toilet, I've got cludgy, I've got loo, duffy. We used to talk about the school, going to the school duffies, shithouse. I can't think of any others.
Bathroom, loo, shanty.
That's all mine.
I just use the word toilet. I don't know. That's all I use.
Yeah.
That's what I call it. I didn't call it anything else.
I just call it the loo. I mean, I go to the toilet, I would just say I'm going... I wouldn't say I'm going to the toilet. It's too posh. I would just say I'm going to the loo. Simple.
Yeah. Duffy's what I've heard a couple of times on the East Coast here, but not before. Did you tell me about that one?
Yeah. It's just that the school, the schools had sort of built into a wall on the boys' playground. I can't speak for the girls, but the girls were the same sort of idea. But they were sort of corrugated roofing, and incorporated in these was toilets. And they used to playtime, and before school, you used to congregate there, especially in drizzly weather or rainy weather or inclement weather, and we used to talk about go to the Duffies. Where it came from, I'd probably a generation before us, you know, but that's we always knew it as the Duffies.
Yeah, we used that, I know. Even when I was younger, I forgot about that one. Yeah, we used Duffy as well when he's at the school. I mean, you wouldn't talk about going to the toilet. You wouldn't have, they all use slang words for everything, so that was definitely used to Duffy, yes.
But what you have to remember is I've got two young boys, so I'm going to call these things by what they're meant to be. So that's why I use the names, what they're called. I'm not going to call it a shithouse.
In front of the beer.
Exactly.
Well, I don't call it a shithouse.
It's in front of my children. I hope you're not referring that.
No, but
you.
When I speak to the kids, I use the word loo. Oh, toilet, yeah, but yeah, I've seen me often. Just, it's the first thing comes out. See, they go to the loo.
That's the reason why I've got a lot of these things the way they are, because they're words I use all the time. Because I have to.
Did any ever use shunky?
No, I've heard it again, but I never used it,
no. Oh, you used to use it in who's that? Shunky, he's in the shunky. Where is he? Shunky.
Lattery?
Aye.
No. That's open air, that's it. Forces and that, that's open air latrine. That's when you're away camping or something like that, we would never. By the time I went camping, there was fitted in toilets.
What about the main room in the house where you have the TV?
Living room. Lounge. That's about it.
Lounge?
Aye.
The only lounge that's I've ever heard about worried. Was in the pub. The pub lounge, no, it's a living room. Is the main room in the house. The living room is... I don't think we ever call it anything else.
Oh. Same. Do most of the living in there, so that's why I used it.
Yeah, it's a nap hand again. It's living room here as well, yes. That's what I call it all the time.
Never sitting room or anything?
Nah.
I used to call it a sitting room. Go be in the sitting room.
I've heard my mother and father using that mostly, but it's dying. You didn't hear it so much now. Have you ever talked about the living room?
What about the long, soft seat in the main room?
Couch. Just because my parents used it as that, so... I've not really got a reason for it. Just carried on for what I've heard before.
Yeah, I put down easy chairs. I didn't read that properly. I would say couch, yeah. Talk about a couch or a settee.
Couch. Settee, sofa.
Good, three then.
Just the same, yeah. Couch. Mainly a couch, I wouldn't call it a sofa. Settee, we associate a settee more with a bed settee where we used to, you know, you had the bed incorporated, you know, in the cramped living conditions, because I had brought up with six of a family, and my two brothers used to be the last in their bed, so they had the bed settee, and it was just a couch that folded down to a double bed, and they were the last of their beds and first up in the morning, so that's what you used it as. But effectively it was a couch that doubled up as a bed, so it was a bed settee.
Good, yeah. What about, I think that's everything on that one there, isn't it? Yeah, it's all done, to have a toilet. Good, right, we'll move on to the what you call them section. We start off with mother there, Gordon.
Just an abbreviation, ma or mum.
Ma or mama, no.
Just mum.
Just ma. Never anything else.
Ma sounds like a wee bit of an older one.
Ma. Nah, it was either ma. Mind me, it was ma all the time. But ma or mum.
How about when you're describing your mum to other folk? What would you say, Kenny?
Mum. Mum. It wouldn't be ma. Mum.
Funnily enough, that's a corruption. They would say, you say ma. But then if you're speaking to somebody else, you'd say, ma, mum, which seems strange, you know, or ma, mother. Some places they call it mither, but it's no here, it's usually mother or mum.
What about grandmother?
Granny. Nothing strange about that, I don't think. I think it's a well-used name. I don't think it'll change much for that.
Dear boys have... Two sets of grandparents, can
you? Yeah.
What do they call them all?
Granny and grandpa and granddad. So the grannies are both the same, but the grandfathers are different.
Interesting. So you have to distinguish between the two.
Yeah, mine's just granny. We just always called her granny. Nothing else. Talk about your granny.
Would you ask for your grandchildren to call you anything in particular, Andy?
No, but that's coming to the next question here. I've always called my grandfather my papa, and my grandchildren do the same thing, call me papa. But like this chap sees the other side, they call him granddad. They talk about their granddad, Jones, but if they're talking about me, talk about their papa. And that's just how I was brought up.
The going back to the grand... it's gran, granny or nan, and the difference is they separate my mother's side to my father's side. It was either nan or gran. It was either one or the other. And if you talk about your nan, you can't which side you were talking about. That was all.
See, that to me seems really borders, the way you said that. Really borders. Am I right in thinking that?
Feathers for the borders. Aye. He was born there.
Wait, but Dunbar doesn't really have a borders accent, does it normally?
Nah. No. It's just... It's... Oh, it's going to get worse. Later on. Yeah. Aye.
It's gran or granny, but... we were always granny, or you know, it's the two sets of grandparents. But the next generation, we were asked what we would like to be called, because I've got a grandson, and I'm about to have another one. Well, another baby in April. But my grandson's 4 past. He was a millennium baby, 5:20 millennium morning. But he calls the two sets of parents granny and granddad, which is his father's name, surname, and granny and granddad, which is our name, so to distinguish between the two sets. And that's, we always use the surnames.
As I said, main, they call granddad and papa, but when I talk about their gran, it's always granny, their granny, I've forgotten her name now.
Yeah, well, mine's is Granny June, or Granny Cathy. That's their first names, so. But the granddads and grandpa.
So when they talk about granddad, you would know exactly what they mean, and talk about grandpa, you know exactly.
You're talking about the borders. My wife's family came for the borders, and she called her grandfather Dad, and he wasn't married. I think her gran died earlier, but I can't remember. Nan or Nan, is it Nan? Something like that, but Dead was I didn't even kind of spell that. That was the old grandfather was called Dead.
Some for the borders these days want to be called Nan and Pop as well, because it makes them feel less old.
Ugh. It's only, that's not going to make you feel any younger. It's a lot of people say, oh, you're too young to be a grandparent, but I mean, it's a fact of life that everyone's getting younger and people are living longer. I mean, it's just part of evolution, I suppose.
I feel that with my grandkids. When the smaller ones talk to you and call you Papa, you don't think nothing about it. But when they're 19 and 20 and 21 and they're calling you Papa, you begin to think, you're kind of too old to be using that word. But it's always what they've been brought up with. Mm-hmm.
What about, grandfather,
grandmother. Not grandfather properly, have we? Just in the... Well, I get confused here. I've asked it so many times as well. Let's do baby. Is
that what we're calling? This is the expert.
Baby.
That's
what I've got.
It's pretty self-explanatory. Baby. Brat, bairn, kid. Ooh. Brat, if they were bad. Bairn if they were good, and kid if you get older.
I have to say bairn as well, the bairn, because I always say to my daughter, how's the bairn and that? But jocularly I say, have you brought your brat with you? You can, but that's a joking thing, but that is, if it just as Kenny says, if they've been bad, you know, it's just being a little brat, you know, so it carries on. I don't know why I didn't call them the proper name rather than the, you know, these adjectives. But that's what bairn is the most common one.
Yeah, I'm the same. Just call them bairn. That's all I've got. Just talk about a baby. Well, it's either be baby or bairn. Can't think of anything else I would use.
You wouldn't say wean, would you?
No, yeah. No. That's the way. That's the way the West Coast side. I would think.
And did they have different names at different stages in their lives as they get a wee bit older? How did they graduate, Andy? You've seen it all now.
Like what, like?
Baby to... What do you call after a baby no longer is a baby?
Well, a baby we maybe call toddlers. And then you talk about just a name after that, kids.
Or a wee boy.
Or...
Just a wee boy. Mm-hmm. A wee laddie.
Or a wee man. Yeah,
that's Ian. Or the wee Ian, or the young Ian.
Just the same.
You're talking, Andrew, you're talking about you find it... You were talking about you feel it ages you when you're talking about a 19 and 20 year old calling you Papa. But what would you address him? If he addresses you as Papa, what are you addressing him as if he's 19 or 20? You're not going to call him the toddler. You're not going to call him the bairn.
Just use your names after
proper
that.
Name, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if the wee ones, I'll maybe say the wee one, so the wife knows I'm talking about the youngest one, or I'll talk about the bairns, but I would never use 19, 20, 21, there are no bairns. I would say John or David or William. Use their names after that.
That's the thing, when I was being brought up in the fishing community, we were never allowed to call relatives by their first name. You had to call them Uncle Walter, Auntie Mary, until you left the school. Once you left the school, you were allowed to drop the relation, whatever relation they were to you, you know, and you called them that. That's an old age thing, you know. It's respect for your elders, and until, you know, we were never sat down in the corner and told to not to say anything. But, you know, that was it. It was always respect, and you had to adhere to these things.
And if you just started using Mary and Walter, and you had to put the auntie and the uncle into it, yes, to give them sort of respect in the family, wasn't it?
Interestingly, I was speaking in Tory, and you said they used to call one another, you know, by these elaborate family connections, because they're fishing again. You know, we were Tootsies, Millies, Bessies, Jimmies, Graces, Bobs, Jocks, Loons, Quine, okay? We could go generations back, or, you know, make all those relationships. It's interesting. What about friend? Word for friend in general, Colin? Colin, yeah.
Mate. Just a good mate. Person you could trust.
Mate, pal, chum.
Other dog food brands.
Aye, that's about it. Aye, I never thought of that. Aye.
Aye, that's the same. I've got pal, friend, pal, chum.
Well, I've just got friend. Could have put mate, or I often talk about the mate, but I mostly talk about friend. My friend so and so, or I've got to see your friend. Never use anything else, really.
Would you never say friend for relative?
Yes, if they're related to you, you would say yes. They're friends. If you said friend, they would think you're meaning a pal. But if you used friend, it could be taken that you're talking about relatives. Yeah.
That's what we do in Shetland as well.
Yeah, you talk it.
Everybody does that.
No, aye, we always do that.
That's relations. You're talking about relations. Friend and friends.
You always say they're friends of the family, so you know their cousins or uncles.
But why is it the difference, a friend and friends?
No idea. I don't have any of the answers, I'm afraid. What about male partner?
I've not got
any. Have you ever had a male partner?
No, bloody no, Christ, no. No, I've got absolutely nothing to that.
What did your wife call you?
Kenny.
Nay, in her name.
Oh, aye. Can't I say it? And it's no oaths, it's right. Oaths.
Oh, I didn't care.
I didn't care. Oh, no, Kenny,
I'm
or.
Same. I got a lot of names.
Aye.
I've just put hubby. I mean, I don't know. I've heard a wife say her hubby or her husband, or use the name. She nearly always use the name. Because, you know, Andrew thinks we should do this or do that. But that's all I've put, hubby.
No, I've said that wrong.
Just husband. I wasn't sure what to put, so...
I've said that wrong. The wife doesn't call me Kenneth. She calls me Kenneth because my mother called it Kenneth and she's called it Kenneth.
I think that's a very difficult one. I've got your man, but it's very seldom we're in a position to hear your spouse calling you. You know, it's usually when you're not there, they're explaining to somebody, my man does this, or my man does that, or your husband does this, your husband does that, or my husband said this, my husband said that, when she's in company, because it's very, very seldom, because if you are there in the conversation, it's self-explanatory. You know, she wouldn't say, or she would look to you and say, my husband or my man, whatever it is, but it's very seldom, you know, we're not confronted with that very much, are we?
No. Well, I mean, I've heard my wife often, if she's on the phone or something, and she'll say, or going somewhere, she'll say, well, I better ask hubby, or I better wait and see what hubby thinks. That's the word she uses quite a lot. So that's.
Before you're married, Andy, how would she describe you?
Oh, I never met her, so I wouldn't know.
It was love at first sight you got married.
Before we got married, what would she call me like, did you say? Oh, I wouldn't, I don't know, I need to ask her. I haven't the slightest. She must have seen something. She must have seen something I didn't see. And it certainly wasn't for my money.
Colin, what about you?
I'm not sure. No, I'm not saying that.
No, that's a very.
I'm thinking about other kinds of relationships as well, you know, non-marital ones. What would folks say around here in Dunbar? Would they say click, beau, gentleman caller, bit of stuff,
boyfriend or
partner,
fiance. We went into later stages. I was courting for 4 years before I was married. I've been married 37.
You courted for 4 years?
Yeah.
That's quite unusual.
Nah, just caught after the school and they get a chance at all. I was married at 19.
Have you come across many groups like this where everyone's married?
Come across, yeah, quite a few.
Everyone in the group?
Mm-hmm.
So if there's ones that aren't in the group with partners, what sort of words do they use?
I was with a group of young women yesterday, which would be my fella, bloke, boyfriend, other half. Occasionally partner.
Click.
A divorcee might say, if they've got a new relationship going, partner. Or I haven't had any gay people that I've spoken to, but that gay couples often describe one another as partner as well. So that's about it.
I've heard the wife shouting about the other half, right enough, but I mean...
Her indoors?
Oh, oh aye, her indoors, aye. Or I say, I better see the boss.
Sir?
Aye. When the wife says, I see the boss, she means herself.
That's good. What about female partner? What would you call your ladies?
Hen, woman, the boss, anything.
Yeah, that's right, hen, the wife. Even sometimes got to be her right name, Lorraine.
I spoke to a bloke in Pitlochry who was in his second marriage and he used to call his first wife the wife. He said he learnt not to do that anymore. He learnt not to call her my wife, you know?
Aye.
My wife, not the wife. It's interesting.
The same, the wife. No reason, just... That's it.
Well, I've got the missus. So I would use that more often as a wife. I don't know, it's just what comes natural to me. I just say the missus. That's it.
Words for, I think we've done most of that. It's a word for something whose name you've forgotten.
I have absolutely none of that.
I couldn't think
of
it.
Thingamy.
Oh, just.
You go.
Okay, thanks.
I have got thingamy. Because you're thingamy Bob.
Mm-hmm.
If it's an object, it's a thingamy Bob, and if it's somebody, it's a thingamy.
Sometimes I say, what about Jimmy? Jimmy or anything like that, but nothing else. I've never written anything. It's just when you're Gordon's on about it, he says thing about I say, oh, what about Ken? Jimmy.
That's the same kind of
thing today, though. Same as Gordon, thingy. Nothing else.
Would you believe it? I've got thing about as well. Because you started thinking, what was that thing about? It's just a name we use, yeah.
What about a kit of tools, Andy?
I've just got toolbox.
Toolkit.
Gear.
Toolbox.
I've only had, I had one this morning, a new one, in Pennycook Grave, one of the two. And then I've had Gibbles in Pitlochry and Bass in Hoyk.
For tools?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Bass and Raggedy in. Very little on that. I think I've been Young person in cheap, trendy clothes and jewellery.
I found this one extremely difficult because I put down a Bobby Dazzler, and then on reflection, that's not really right, because a Bobby Dazzler probably... But then that could have been to somebody that you found attractive, was a Bobby Dazzler, you see. So I've.
It's in cheap
yeah.
and trendy clothes. There's expensive trendy clothes and there's cheap trendy clothes.
What are you thinking,
Carl? Plonker.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to make themselves look somebody that they're not. And. It looks shit.
I just put show off. That's what we would say. You're just a show off because you're wearing gear that's not classy. It's trying to look classy. So there for the word show off, yeah.
Aye. Well, I was thinking of the opposite sex. And I was saying young thing, show off.
You didn't say Ned or Chav?
Nah. What made you think the opposite sex, though?
I didn't again. I just, when it had that about, I just thought, a young thing, well, I,
well.
Oh, aye.
Well, you think of the opposite sex. When
I never think you mean. Yeah. Where the heck's...
But it says young person. It doesn't say opposite
well,
sex.
It's just... a young person with jewellery. So
I would never have thought of a young fella anyway. Wait, when do we see a young fella? Oh, right enough, he's got plenty of earrings in and now. Where do we see with earrings and jewellery in and stuff like that? The right plonkers, right enough.
But it's no cheap.
You're just a, so you're just a show.
I have to agree with Kenny because... Yeah, but the other thing is, if it's cheap trendy, I refer to the opposite sex. I have to say, and another name that comes in is a tart, dressed up like a tart, and that's cheap, trendy stuff trying to make themselves look something. But sometimes a tart doesn't necessarily mean a young person, Ken. So it's a very difficult to try and get the right.
Hear people saying, you know, talking about someone, they're tarted up. So that's the same as what you mean,
yeah.
Using the word as a tart, yeah.
I can't say I immediately thought about the opposite sex. That never came into it.
Very liberated to the younger generation.
Yeah.
I didn't, because, as I see, my generation don't equate jewellery with male sex.
Opposite sex, it says young person.
With jewellery.
We, in my generation, youngins never wore jewellery. They never had an earring in, unless you were a fisherman. But 9 times out of 10, they never had any earrings on or bangles or piffle like that.
I agree with Kenny, yeah, this is only the last 30 or 40 years that I've seen men wearing earrings and rings and jewellery and bracelets, thing we've never seen. So when I read the question and I seen jewellery, I was like, Ken, I was thinking of the opposite sex.
Tell me about the thing with earrings and fishermen.
Oh, well, I should tell you
why. That's not true. Some fishermen do had earrings, but that was for identification purposes.
Well, you know,
same as the old Guernseys had different patterns for the different different ports. So if the body was washed up in the old days, they could distinguish which port, and the chances are they could death. But I have to say, I've been at sea for, 40 odd years now, and it's only the last generation, last 10 years, that I've seen earrings. The 30 years prior to that, I could only say I've seen maybe a couple, three, in Dunbar anyway. I can't remember anybody with earrings.
What about the identification thing? How did you... How does that identify somebody?
They all have their own pattern of where they come from. If they come from Montrose or anything, they've got their own pattern.
Most
of
earrings.
The story of an earring was that if a man was drowned at sea, unidentified, the golden earring would pay for burying him. That's why they reckon old sailors always had an earring. So that's where the story for that was supposed to come from. If you're washed up in a foreign country and they've got to bury you and you've nothing. You, well, they reckon they could, the golden earring would pay for whatever it costs to put them under. That is why sailors wore, not necessarily our day and age, they reckon it's a, what's the word, in generations it's been. Oh, way back in old sea dog days, they all wore earrings, and that was the idea for that. So probably it's just, in nowadays it's dress.
I've got two earrings because they would need to dig a right big hole to put me in.
Do you want to take a break for a second, chaps? Aye, because what they wear. Start with clothes this time.
Clothes. We call them clays. C-L-E-S. All different kinds, but if you just talk about clothes in general, it's put your clays on.
Have you got words for the different items of clothing?
Aye, well, you're coming to some of them. Breeks, trousers. Jumpers, jerseys, shoes, buffies, right through to the heel, socks. So I think there's a slang for socks. No, I think that's just about it.
Kit, gear, and clays. Trousers, breeks, Nicky Toms. Used to be a gamekeeper. I never wore them. Just all different things. Cardigans, jerseys, jumpers, things like that. Corduroy, trousers.
Great.
Clothes, trousers. Are you on the children's shoes as well?
Aye, well, it's just really the clothes I was interested in. If you're
any... Well, it's just that they were going through everything, so...
Okay, that's all right. We can go back and do our stuff again.
Just clothes and... Trousers, but for if you, do you want to do the kids one or leave that?
Leave that. Just, I'm just looking for items of clothing, you know, because we call, for instance, a shirt would be a sack. Do you have anything else?
Well, I've just put clothes. I put garb.
That's good one. I've not had that yet, Andy. It's a you good know, one. Yeah.
I use that. Your garb that you're putting on, that she would know you're talking about your trousers, your shirt, whatever everything you're wearing.
Is that a fishing one?
No. No, it's just, I don't know where I've picked that one up, actually. But I use that. Here's another
again. Semi. It's a vest. A semi.
Semi, yeah. Put your semi on, it's more a winter. Mm-hmm. A winter vest.
Fucking Peter Head had good words as well. You were discussing something before, I noticed, Gordon. You were speaking about the fishermen's jumpers, and what did you call them?
Guernseys. Well, that's where it started, that's where it originated, in Guernsey, the patterns and all that. But it's a Guernsey, it's just a... there's a lot of things that we see that we're not really aware of where it comes from. It's handed down and that.
It would just be a fancy word for Jersey, a Guernsey. Instead of saying Jersey, we'd say Guernsey. But as Gordon says, where it actually originated from, I wouldn't know.
Just stop and think where the two words come from, Jersey and Guernsey.
They're near each other.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sheep at one point that produced a wool for them or something, you know. So we say Guernsey in the same way.
So. Guernsey. I've never heard of that.
Guernsey. What about child soft shoes worn for PE?
Sand shoes. Probably abbreviated that, but I had to make it down to sannies, not to be confused with the sanny that you eat. Mm. But sand shoes or drill shoes, we used to say as well. Because we used to get gym shoes, drill shoes, sand shoes. But sand shoes was mainly the black, rubberized sand shoes, you know, for PE. And we used them quite a bit, actually.
Much the same as Gordon, but I've got plimsolls. That's the rest.
Jimmies. Gym shoes. Just shorten to Jimmy's.
And sand shoes, that's what we used to call them. Nothing else. Talked about software and sand shoes. Because that's all we had. The cheapest of the cheap.
You never spoke about gotties, would you, Andy?
Pardon?
Gotties.
Never gotties. Never heard them use as that, no. Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks mention that. Apparently it's been gutta percha, which is the thing to do.
Yeah, I've heard them gutties as well, yeah. But
the golf ball's going to be that.
Yeah, gutta percha, yeah. That's, I mean, The other thing about the sand shoes was that started off as lace and then finished up slip-ons. They were an elasticated, no tongue, I don't know what you'd call it. But
kind of gusset, isn't it?
Yeah. That you just slipped them on. You know, that was an evolution in the thing, I would imagine.
See, when you said about gutties, you said gutties. Well, gutties, when I in the firm was pair of things with elastic band and you threw a stone with them and they were called gutties.
I guess it's the rubber as well, isn't it?
Aye.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Any other words for trousers? Would you call them anything different, Colin?
Trousers, not. That's it.
Trousers, so.
Trousers, aye, just the same.
Breeks.
But you know, you can call them trousers with jeans as well. You see, when the denims came out, you used to put jeans on. You know, the denim jeans. Breeks or jeans.
Corduroys.
Cords.
I call them corduroys.
So cords.
Ah, oh, it all depends how I feel it.
Slacks?
No, there was a time where there was chinos as well, and people used to say, a younger age, Gordon. It's that age bracket coming in again.
Who was famous for wearing chinos?
Chinos?
Nah, probably golfers, I think.
Casuals as
well? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's go on to how we feel. We'll do please to begin with, start on a high note. Please, it's Friday afternoon.
I need to find that one.
That's how we feel.
Chuffed.
Just happy. You're pleased with something, you're happy about it. Aye, that's all I've put.
Feeling good.
Like the pronunciation there?
Glad. If you're pleased, you're glad it's happened. You can't hear pleased it's happened. A bit chuffed as well, I would say that, yeah.
What about when you're not so chuffed and you're annoyed?
Roused, louping, angry.
Good one.
Rattled. You get annoyed, you get rattled. But roused, rattled.
Quite a boring one here, just mad. What's it?
Well, I'm just got not pleased. Again, like the old Queen Victoria would say, we are not amused.
Right, so like
so not pleased if you're annoyed. Yes. That's all I've put.
That's nice today, Andy. What about tired?
Knackered. Done in.
Knackered. Sneaker. Tired.
Tell me about the middle one.
Sneaker. Just... same as knackered, sneaker.
Just the same, knackered, nothing. It was the first one that came into my head.
Well, I thought it had a different meaning of tired. Instead of that, I put fed up. And if I'm tired of something or I've had enough of it, I'm fed up. That's what I put for tired.
Brilliant. So it's two variations of the same word. As tired as you know, if you're tired, if you're that's right. I never thought of that.
What about hot, Gordon?
Hot is biling. Just biling.
Steaming.
I was in two minds about the question, so I just put hot.
Two minds about.
Well, I wasn't sure about what you meant with the question. Hot. So I just wrote hot. I've done the same with cold. Cold.
Cool. Probably just know so many words for it.
I've got bacon.
Like a tatty.
Yeah, you would say, gosh, it's bacon. It's hot. So that's what I put, bacon.
Cold. Anybody else for cold?
I've got cold.
Nethered. If you talk about your nether, you're cold to the bone, so you're nethered. So that's what I've got.
That's a good one.
I've not got that, but I would agree with that, yeah.
See, these are quite old words.
It's called.
Correct, right? Then your mates, probably your mates.
No. They would probably say the same, eh? Maybe freezing or. They would never say I'm nethered or.
Baltic?
Possibly, I've heard that one. I wouldn't use. Probably I would when you. When you're bringing that up, I probably would say that. It's Baltic. Mm-hmm.
That's a new one, you see, I've not heard
that. Can I change that?
I
would use Baltic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Baltic, aye, and if I was frozen, Philip would say, well, stamp your feet. Things like that. Just somebody
we
used
aye. The one. We used to go out in the morning, and if it was really cold, usually you buff your hands. You're nethered. You're shaking. So that was the word you used. You're nethered.
Starving.
Hungry.
No, it's a hungry one, but it's not cold. It's been about starvation at home. It was really cold. You know. That's alright. Don't worry. It's not a problem. Just care around these last few then.
Right.
So words for unwell.
Unwell. Just no wheel. Just the same.
Seek.
I've just got no well as well. You just talk about your no well.
Just keep filling
in until you're nothing else you can say really to that. You're unwell, you're not feeling very well, so you just say, well, I'm no well.
I've just got ill. If you're no well, I always just use ill.
Nice and simple. Great.
Sick, I'm away to bed.
To throw something.
Okay. Toss. Chuck. That's it.
To chuck. To toss, eh? Chuck, I've got.
Yep. I've got chuck as well. Quite boring.
Trust me, it'd be different. I've got to fling. I would fling it. Just throw it. Fling it away.
Would you fling something differently for throwing something? You know, would you use different words for different things, you think?
Well, if you were like, you talk about throwing dice or anything like that, but I mean, actually. To fling, if you're throwing a javelin or flinging a... I would talk about flinging a stone rather than throwing a stone. It just comes naturally, you would fling it. Or you're going to throw something out and got to fling it away. Not you throw it out.
You wouldn't have a fling with it. You would have a fling with a member of the opposite sex, but you wouldn't have a throw with some... Yeah. You know, it's other variations of the spelling.
Variations, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about... To hit hard.
Scalp. Whack. Thump.
What's there? Would you use... are some of those worse than others?
Aye, thump's the hardest. Scalp's just a bang on the lug, on the jaw. Hmm. And whack. I mean, it's just a lot of gain I'm there.
To wowf, smack or clout?
I haven't heard wowf. Tell me about that.
Well, if you wowf somebody, you smack them, or it's just another word, you know, you'd probably punch him, I think. And if it was in a courtroom, it would be punched him to the face to his injury.
Have you got to thump as well? You hit something hard, you would thump it. You know, as against scalp, as Kenny says, scalp would just be a slight smack of the hand. But to hit hard, you would thump. Yeah.
Thump or slap? Just same. Hit hard or just abbreviation, hitting hard is slap. I'll slap you the now. Sorry. That's it.
Any stories about to hit hard? Anything?
Well, the wowf one is if you're telling somebody about what happened in the pub the previous night, you know, and say somebody was annoying somebody and he wowfed them. You know, you wouldn't say clouted him. You wouldn't say wowf or smack. Wowf them. Wowf
must be quite an old one. I've not really heard that.
I've heard that.
You're older than Gordon, and that's saying something.
No, but
can't
help that. It's words you didn't hear now.
No.
The older generation use them, but you didn't hear the young generation using them. To bowf or to thump. Yeah, they're older words coming from further back.
That's fine. What about to play a game, Colin?
Take part.
I struggled to think of that, and I've got exactly the same as you to take part. I don't
just a game. Just a game.
And just to play. There's no any variation. It's just to take part, right?
I don't care about to play either.
But
after the to sleep.
Sleep. Go to bed.
You never have a wee nap.
Well, a kip, a nap, 40 winks. That's about it. Eh?
Kip and a nap. A wee bed.
Shut eye. Use that a lot.
Yeah, I've just got a nap. Just take a nap or a kip. Yeah, sleep.
Somebody read this in Perth reading. What you do to sleep as you put read.
Yeah.
Fair enough, though.
Mm-hmm.
To play truant. There's the last one now, guys. Are you getting any good stories on
skip. Skive. It's a thing I never done. Strangely, I used to like this school. Sometimes wish I was still there.
Well, I've got skive off school, and I'm surprised to hear Colin saying skive, because there again, I would say it's an older generation's word. You didn't hear that so often now. Skiving. Skive off school, you play truant.
That's been quite a well-used word, though. I can't think of any others except play truant, skip school.
Skive. The youngsters would say you've skipped school or played truant yesterday, but I wouldn't expect them to say I skived off of school. To me, it seems to be an older word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I originally had hooky, and then I thought, well, that's no really, we didn't really talk in Dunbar about playing hooky. I think it's American, I think it's the television playing its part there. But I've got skive or bunk off. But it's a thing that we never really did very much of at the school, but to skive. But, and then there again, skive is more associated with skiving work as compared to skiving school. I suppose when you're younger, it's both the same. It is classed as work, you know, when you're working at your lessons.
It is. But the meaning's more or less the same. You didn't go.
Yeah.
You had a day off. You didn't go to work or you didn't go to school, yes. You did a day off. Same thing.
That's one of the official words. Anything else that's really Dunbar that you'd like to share with the rest of the country?
Yin, twee, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
That's how you count in Dunbar.
That's how I don't care if well, I go into Dunbar and they laugh at me when I count like that. It's just, don't know where it's fit. The borders, I think.
No, I would agree with you. I'm not for the borders, but we do tend to emphasise, you know, you hear people counting in various times in different languages, like in German or French or Eintwein, but, you know, that's they would have a job working out what we were saying, I would think, yeah.
Yes, because... I mean, I've got a sister-in-law that's English and half, even now, she has difficulty of thinking, picking up what I'm saying. You're talking about yin, twee, three, now it's one, two, and three. We didn't speak that way. You're talking about yin, twee, four. You wouldn't say it four. You just say four. And she wonders, what are you saying?
Do you ever have any other bother being understood, Andy?
Often, yes. A lot of people tell me that I talk too quick, then they pick up what. And funnily enough, my son does exactly the same. Half of him, I don't know what he says, talks too quick.
Do you think that the Dunbar accent's getting more diluted, Colin?
Well, there tends to be a lot of different people coming into Dunbar at the moment. A lot of new houses getting built and stuff, so I think there's quite a varied accent going about in Dunbar at the moment.
Definitely. Picking up on the streets,
as it were. Well, there's a lot of Edinburgh accent and roundabout. Just, it's different. You can recognise it right away.
What's the
dying
of
all
Dunbar accents
seem
like?
It's, we never really think about it. I can remember, if you're looking for a story, I remember I was visiting my brother-in-law. He was in the forces in Germany. and it was Christmas New Year time, and we were out for a drink with his friends, and there was a Liverpudlian couple, and we were having to speak differently from what we normally speak, Mike and I, my brother-in-law, and this Liverpudlian girl, she was fascinated, just, and she says, "Oh, I know what you're saying." And I says, "No, you don't." So I started speaking properly, you know, the way I would speak to him in normal conversation, because we were diluting it. You know, it's because we have a saying here, there's nobody speaks like Oozians, you know, and Divna Cain and things like that, you know. And I mean, we're no aware that we're doing it. It's just like people don't set out to speak differently. It's just the things that you're comfortable with. And that's it. You're no aware that that's the bar. You would be aware of it because that's what you're recording. You know.
Yeah. What about fishing words?
Well, there's another example. The three of us here is basically the same generation. Colin's a younger generation, and that's just the same of fishing, farming, any activity that. There's diluted words. There's words that we never used for a while, and I often speak to my mother in the mornings. You know, when I'm not at sea, and she'll say, "Yeah, that's a good. No, heard that in for a while." And these are the sort of things that it's dying out. It's like probably how the Hebrideans and the outer Hebrides and that they feel about the Gaelic. You know, being a dying language. You know that people just don't take the time and effort or. Where the dilution, the incomers coming to the town, it's the different accents and different.
Are these maybe words that your dad had maybe used, though, Gordon, and she's no heard for a long time, or?
I don't know. It's just, I mean, it's just things in general. I mean, there's no need for these. I mean, scalp it, and you know, it's. You have to remember now that television's playing a great part in your vocabulary as well.
Is Dunbar a fishing town?
What?
Yeah, that's the main industry, or was.
Well, I'm for the Fernstoke, and I'm completely different. Half the words I had to try and learn for Dunbar, because I used to use a lot of different words with what they use now.
Is there a real divide in the community between the Fairland and the fishing folk?
No, really. I wouldn't say there was a dividing. It's just they got on together and that's it. But I mean, I've got words like tumshies and stuff like that. They look kind of a bit, but it's just wee me mixing with them. But half the folk, when they came, what a tumshie is.
What's a
tumshie? A turnip.
You see, that's it. You're into school, you get the influx of the villages, the farming community. They have their small village primaries. And then they come to our secondary, you know, the big town secondary, and then you're integrated, and that's where you learn. So that it's not, you know, anything that he's saying just now wouldn't be alien to us.
A lot of fishermen use own words for different things, and yeah, the fishing community picks that up, and maybe the rest, outlandish as Kenny says, in the farms and that, don't use the same language as the fisher people would use. I mean, to go back even further, I reckon there were too much interbreeding into the fishing communities in places like Dunbar. They had to have dances and cairns and get the young girls for the country and the fisher boys to mix, so they would mix the families.
How do you guys all know one another? You're obviously here next door, Colin, but do you can...
Don't go into it too deeply.
How do you mean, like?
How do you get to?
I know Kenny because Kenny used to stay over the road. Gordon's my neighbour.
Never met me.
Andrew's a fisherman. Male. Yeah. I used to stay at the back. I was brought up where he was brought up in the harbour,
yes.
And he was a fisherman for the first 15 years of my working life. He was in the fishing.
Okay. Okay, just one more time. If you just tell me what your name is, where you live, that'd be great.
Well, my name is Andrew. I live in Dunbar. I have done all my life. Three children. I'm retired now and thoroughly enjoying it.
I'm Colin. I'm a postman. I've lived in Dunbar 28 years. I lived in Skaterraw. Before that, it's a farm just outside Dunbar.
Kenny. I'm 60 in, retired, and I stay in Dunbar.
Gordon, 57 in a couple of months' time, and I've worked at fishing all my life, and I'm presently involved with the History Society in Dunbar for community history.